next Saturday, 8 o'clock. Look forward to seeing everyone. And it's good to see you today. It's good to celebrate with you the goodness of our Lord and Savior today. And as we remember Christ and His sacrifice to us, it's a good time for us to remember our walk and our compassion for Him and to be what He needs us to be and to sacrifice even if He calls us to sacrifice. This morning I want to spend some time talking to you about that. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24, and Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Lord, we thank You for this day and for Your blessings. Lord, the grace and the mercy that is upon us. I don't know that we can ever fully understand in this mortal life, but Father, we feel it, and we feel the joy of Your salvation, and we thank You, and we ask for Your help. Strengthen us as Your people. Strengthen us against ourselves even. Strengthen us to be a light in a world filled with darkness. Not the light, but to let Your light shine through us. Lord, we ask it to Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Jesus is having a conversation with His disciples, and if you read back in the Scripture, you'll see that this is kind of a following conversation where Jesus has asked the disciples who the people said He was, and there were various answers that giving. In fact, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And we know what a wonderful statement that is. And Jesus patting Peter on the back. And then Jesus begins to say, "Hey, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to have to suffer many things. I'm going to die." And Peter said, "I don't think so." And Jesus said to Peter, "What? Get behind me, Satan." So He's patting him on the back in one moment, and He's giving him a little lift with the foot in the rear in the next. It shows how easy our walk with Christ can switch from one to the other when we forget to see the way God is working rather than the way we think He should work. Okay? And that's what we need to understand when we think about following Christ, because Jesus continues on with His conversation and He tells the disciples, look, if anyone's going to come after Me, he must learn to deny himself and take up his cross daily. We have got to be willing to face the world not with our own opinions and with our own assessments of things, because you remember Jesus doesn't look at us for who we are. He looks at us for who we can be. In Him. A new creation in Him. We don't walk in this world focused on how we think it ought to be and how we think it should look. We focus on it the way it is and how God sees it and what the work is in it while we're there. And we have to deny ourselves and we have to take up our cross and we have to do this daily. Following Christ is not an easy thing. We have to ask ourselves an important question. If we're going to do this, and for those of you that will follow Jesus and take up this cross, let me put this question in your mind that you need to ask yourself every day when the challenge is there. Is it Jesus or me who I'm going to follow? Is it Jesus or me? Because when we follow ourselves, we're pushing Jesus to the curb and we're taking our own actions. And I can promise you, there will be regrets when we don't do the things Christ calls us to do. But we have to learn how to deny ourselves, because this is the first call in following Jesus. This is a calling. If you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Where do we begin if we want to understand what it means to deny ourselves? I could get into a lot of philosophies and psychology and, you know, I'm not going to do that with you. I'm going to talk to you how God talks to me. I'm going to share with you what God shares with me. I'm going to tell you that you have competing desires within you, and you have got to learn to harness those competing desires. How many of you know what the competing desires are that each and every one of us have? Each and every one of us have these. Let me share with you in 1 John chapter 2 these words the apostle has written there. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. You have your three competing desires right there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of us must face ourselves when dealing with these things. I wouldn't dare ask anybody in here if you've never lusted after anything. I wouldn't dare ask anyone if you ever saw something that you thought was beautiful. Oh, I got to have this, whether it's a home, whether it's whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to ask you that. I'm not going to ask you and put you on a spot and someone say, not me, I never... Well, we know that that's wrong. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever been prideful in life, because how many of us have never had an ounce of pride in us? Not one of us. In fact, some of us, sometimes we can back up to the factory and fill jugs and send them out to the stores, right? Buy your pride here. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you're going to follow after Christ, you've got to learn to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him daily. This is a calling to surrender. This is a calling to put ourselves in a place where we die to sin. We die to the world. It might even mean that we die in this world if we're going to follow Christ. But can I tell you, no one has ever died for Christ and died in shame. But I know there have been plenty of people who said they followed Christ and then rejected Him and died in shame. Don't be that person. If you are going to stand before Christ and say, here I am, I want to be a new creation in you, I want to follow after you, I want you to understand that this is not an easy walk. It's hard, but you're not in it alone. God is always with you. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. He's the one that strengthens me through His Spirit to deny myself and to deny the world. Sometimes denying the world can get ugly. Fearful. But he who denies the Son also denies the Father. And that puts us in a very precarious situation if we deny the Son. We don't want to find ourselves in that place, do we? We've got to learn how to deal with these competing desires. The lust of the flesh, Paul says in Romans, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And he goes on further to say that it is the flesh and the spirit that are contrary to one another, at war with one another. And so when the flesh is wanting to go and the spirit is trying to restrain, let the spirit lead. Don't surrender to the flesh. I'm going to tell you, you know, it's hard not to surrender. I see a Hershey Kiss laying on the counter and it's not mine. That's hard to walk by that thing. I mean, they shouldn't just leave that laying there like that, should they? That's not right. That's just chocolate. What about the other things we have to deal with? The works of the flesh are evident. Paul teaches us fornication, lewdness, idolatry, contentions, hatred, drunkenness, envies, murders, self-serving souls. The lust of the flesh is one of the hardest things we have to deal with every day. And we're at war every day. It's not the world that we're at war with. We're at war with ourselves. You know, Jesus said, why do you look at the splinter in someone else's eye and you can't even see the plank in your own? There's a lot of truth for us there. Before we can really begin to help others, we've got to learn how to help ourselves. We've got to learn to see the sin that is within us. We can't stand in judgment. By the way, we're not called to judge people. We can judge fruit. You understand that. We can judge whether works are good or evil. It's very easy to say that this is right and this is wrong. It's very easy to recognize what God accepts and what God rejects. And as a Christian, I am going to stand in the world and say this is unholy and this is holy. This is unrighteous and this is righteous. This is unworthy and this is worthy. And we are to do these things. But we can't do it with a baseball bat. We've got to learn to do it in love. As Christ, even hanging from the cross, said, Father, forgive them because they don't understand. They don't know what they're doing. And people that are lost in sin, they don't understand. We have to help them understand by living it and showing it and helping them. And it's hard. And we have to begin by dealing with ourselves and the lusts of our own flesh. We have to recognize that we have a problem. We have to acknowledge when the problem is there. We have to fight against that. We have to strive against that. We've got to plead with God's strength and for His help to get through that so we can move on. We don't want to be like this, filled with fornications and lewdness and idolatry and contentions and hatred and drunkenness and envy and murder. These are not the things God has called us to be like, to fill our lives with. He says, set yourself apart. And if you're going to follow after me, learn how to deny yourself. I'm telling you, the first thing that we all have to learn to deal with is the lust of the flesh. Second thing we've got to learn to live with, and at the same time, how many of you like problems all at the same time? Can you multitask? Because multitasking is what we have to do at times. That's hard, isn't it? How many of you have been at work and you had something to do and then the boss come around and said, I got something else for you to do. It needs done right now. It has priority. Well, so does this, what you're doing. Well, this has more priority. Which one do you do? You do the one that has priority, right? What if they both have the same priority and you're the only one that dare to take care of it? That's right. What if it's you and you're dealing with something, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes? What if it's the lust in the eyes that's causing the lust in the flesh? What do? Close your eyes. Pray. That's what you do. Close your eyes and pray. Move forward. Turn around and go the other way. Remove from your sight that which is the source of trouble. Is it your favorite TV show? I'm meddling now, okay? Because how many of you can turn the TV on today without seeing things? Hearing things. Contrary to the Spirit. Ooh. Pleasing to the flesh. Contrary to the Spirit. Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Take your eyes off of the world and the things in it. Close your eyes and let that spiritual sight be awakened to the things that God has possible, that God has promised. I have never seen heaven, but I can tell you it's going to be wonderful. I have never seen the people that are in heaven, but I can tell you that they are going to be kind and loving and filled with goodness of God, true and true. I've never seen heaven, but I am ready to walk those streets, leaving behind any of this to be there with Christ and those who have gone before. How many of us would surrender heaven for what we have here? Jesus said, what does it profit a man that he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Because we see everything in this world that we want, and we begin to build ourselves up for who we can be and who we are, even after we have reached certain heights in life, and we begin to deal with the pride of life. What are we going to give in exchange for our soul if we should gain the whole world and it's lost? Reminds me of a joke. I've told y'all this before. I'm going to tell it again because I tell such real good jokes. Rich man. Very godly rich man. Passed away. But before he passed away, an angel from heaven came to him. Stood there at his bedside and said, the Lord has told me to come and tell you, you're coming home soon. But before you go, you've been so godly, I'm going to grant one request. And the rich man said, well, I'd like to bring a suitcase full of gold. The angel said, well, that's odd. Why? He says, well, I just want to bring a suitcase full of gold. And so the angel said, okay. So they packed him a suitcase full of gold and buried it with him. He showed up at the gates of heaven with his suitcase and Peter standing there. And he's looking at him, checking him in. He says, what you got in the suitcase? We don't normally allow people to bring anything to heaven. This is the first. He said, well, God granted it. Peter checked. It was so. He said, well, what do you got in there? He said, well, take a look. He opened up the suitcase and Peter looked back at him and said, gold? We don't have any streets need paving up here. Gold's not going to do you any good in heaven. You can't take it with you. What if you gain the whole of the world and lose your soul? And lose your soul? What can you brag about then? Where is your pride going to be then? Wouldn't it be better? I mean, if we're just going to talk for a moment, wouldn't it be better if we could just let pride go and look at our neighbor and say, you know what? I could easily be sitting in that same place. They could easily be sitting in my place. Why can't we help each other? Why can't we love each other? Why can't we be a voice calling? Why can't we be a song that is singing? Why can't we be the reflection of God who is in us so they can see and hear? You want to learn first to battle or to take up the cross? You've got to learn first to battle yourself. You've got to learn deny the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You've got to ask that question. In that moment, just say, Jesus or me? Jesus or me? Make it conscious to yourself. So you're not going to stand on that that broken defense. I didn't understand what I was doing. It's not going to work. Jesus or me? Listen to the Spirit. Let your spiritual eyes guide you. If you want to know how to strengthen your spiritual eyes so you can follow God, then listen to these words in the Psalms. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Quit reading the things of the world and read the things of God. You want your eyes to see better? You want to start shielding them from the lust that can just penetrate and take over and deceive? Let His word be a lamp and a light. And remember what the what's written in the Proverbs about pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Too much bragging doesn't do anybody any good, does it? A whole lot less bragging is a lot that every one of us could live with. Now, I can't tell you that it's not going to happen when it comes to grandkids, okay? Because we love our grandkids, don't we? But we should love our neighbor's grandkids too. We should be willing to share the goodness in their lives. There are so many things that we have to work on ourselves if we're going to take up our cross and follow Christ. It's not just wearing a badge of honor because the world hates me. I'm a Christian now. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about denying ourselves. We're talking about battling these things in ourselves so that when we're carrying the cross, it's meaningful. It's purposeful. And it shows the world we believe and we care. Isn't that what God's calling us to be? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And follow me. Follow Christ. He's not your co-pilot. He's the pilot. You got to let him be who he is. And he's not just pilot. He's Lord and He's Savior for those who will come after Him. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior today? Have you made a profession of faith? Have you surrendered? Have you asked God to make you a new creation in Him? Have you asked God to bring you on board in this fight with yourself to show the world how much you love Him? If you haven't, why not? God loves you. He's given everything He can for you. His Son gave Himself to appease the wrath of His Father. Before He ascended into heaven, He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you if you will just come after me. Wherever I am, there you can be. But you got to believe. You got to confess. You got to deny yourself. That's the first step we take in confessing Christ, isn't it? I need help. Are you strong enough this morning to take that step? God's calling. I'm inviting. Will you come while the altar is open? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you again for your grace and your mercy upon us. Lord, I thank you for the hope that we have, not in this world, but in the age to come with you. Father, strengthen us against ourselves, against the things in this world that would cause us to stumble, against our enemy. And Lord, I pray if he should set a trap for us, let him fall victim to his own trap. Help us, be with us, guide us. Lord, we ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?